Welcome to Core 242 Podcast, brought to you by Core Community Covenant Church. Now let's dive into the Word of God with Pastor Max and Pastor Trish. So we're finishing up our sermon series on Core, the four
values,
thank you, of our church, but also as we dive into, we're realizing it's I feel like it's a core of Christian believers to have these kind of steps, concepts in our lives. Again, it's centering God's grace, obeying God's truth, reflecting God's purpose, and today embodying God's love. And as we taught these values, I truly believe they're very life-changing values that we need to, as Christians, embody and show, having God's grace, having God's love, having God's word, reflecting His purpose. It's very changing. Today, when we're talking about God's love, I wanted to kind of start off with Galatians 5:6, which says, "For in Christ Jesus, neither circumcision nor uncircumcision has any value. The only thing that counts is faith expressed itself through love." So it's this focus, and this is why we're kind of finishing off with this, is this focus on our changing how we are and how we express ourselves, remembering that love has got to be the center of it all. And then as we're looking into this word embodying, that to me, honestly, I've heard this word before. I kind of understand what it was, but, you know, I Googled it, thankfully for Google. It gives great definitions. So I wanted to read that too, because I feel like as you read what this really, to embody a concept, and I just put embody a concept in Google instead of embody God's love, because I wanted to kind of see what it truly is. And it says, to embody a concept is to give tangible physical form to an abstract idea through words, action, and behavior, making the concept manifest in the world. Like, that is a big thing. Like, of course, love is a concept, right? And then we're taking this concept of love and we're making it for people to actually see what it truly is. And God has definitely showed that to us. I want to continue. This process involves consciously integrating the concept into your understanding and applying it to change your behavior and approach to life, essentially living the idea and becoming its living example. Like, there's so much there that if we are challenged to embody God's love, there's a lot of internal and external changes that needs to happen in our lives for us to truly embody God's love.
When we read scripture and when we see our goal as Christians is to become like Christ. And the very heart, the very beauty of the gospel is, you know, we look at John 3:16, "For God so loved the world that he gave his one and only son, that whoever believes in him shall not perish, but have eternal life," right? This is a verse that pretty much everybody knows. Christian, non-Christian, it's on bumper stickers. People hold it up at football games and whatnot. It's everywhere without necessarily having the context or understanding. But what John articulates really well, and we may come back and look at John a little bit, because I think he's the perfect example of someone who moved through this process of embodying God's love and how that changed his life. But what we see at the very heart of the gospel message is that God loved us so much that he sent his son, who's the word, right, in John 1, become flesh, who made his dwelling among us. So you literally have God's love becoming embodied, becoming incarnate. Yep. So instead of it just being a letter, right, which I believe a lot of scripture is God expressing his love in written form to us, instead of just sending, a carrier pigeon, he comes in flesh and blood to walk among us, to talk among us, to heal, lay hands on people, to pray, to break bread and fellowship and do life with us in order to show how deep the Father's love is for us, how deep God's love is for us. So John encapsulates this. A lot of the verses that we use today will actually have been written by John. And so it's interesting because John starts off when you read about it, him and his brother were the only ones who got a nickname, the Sons of Thunder. And some of it is because John was this, you know, where Peter was super impulsive, John was just filled with this, like, just kind of like anger. There's a point where the Samaritan town doesn't receive Jesus well enough. So he gets angry and he's like, should we call down fire and just obliterate the town? And Jesus is like, no, that's not how we do things, right? And then there's another time where the man is going around who's not officially a disciple, and he's healing and casting out demons. And John stops him from doing it because he's like, no, you know, you're not one of us. So there's this pattern of John not being someone who really got it. Like, he didn't. But then as you look, his gospel and his writings and scripture talk about love more than any of the others. Mm-hmm. So it becomes something, and even in John's gospel, over and over and over again, you know, when you read through it, the theme is the disciple whom Jesus loved, the beloved disciple. And he's talking about himself. So he weaves himself into the story, but he doesn't put his name in there. His very identity becomes about God's love, and it becomes so part of who he is that, like Christ was the embodiment of God's love in human form, we then are meant to be like Christ and then become someone who embodies God's love in human form.
Yeah.
So first, in order to embody God's love, in order for us to get to that place, to go through that process, you first have to understand God's love, right? Now, we cannot in one sermon cover all the aspects of God's love, and we're going to go through a few things. We did do another series that was called the Shema series, not last January, but the January before. So if you want to unpack a little bit more, we spent several weeks looking at God's love for us and about how we're supposed to love in the same. Shameless plug, we also wrote our Made with Love book that just came out, available on Amazon. No, but the book basically is the sermon series turned into writing. Honestly, there's a lot there, and we can't cover it today. So we want to go over some of it just to have a general understanding of God's love, because we can't represent and reflect God's love and embody God's love if we don't have a general understanding of what his love looks like.
Yeah, and we're going to cover the some of the aspects that we're going to cover. God's love is that we looked through. We found it. It's unconditional. It's sacrificial. It's steadfast and faithful. It's transformative, and it's redemptive. So those are a couple of things that we are going to cover today. So the first one is unconditional. God's love does not depend on our action. When we look at Romans 5:8 to start off the scriptural references, is Romans 5:8. But God demonstrated his own love for us in this: while we were still sinners, Christ died for us. It doesn't matter who we are, how we start off, his love is there. He loved us. We love him because he loved us first. This is just the way, that's the way he is. And even in the Old Testament, you see over and over these kind of statements. It's like, you are unfaithful to me, but I still will be faithful with me. You have broken covenant with me, but I'll keep my covenant with you. Mm-hmm. So it's this unconditional love that he always shows to us.
Mm-hmm. And Psalm 145, verse 8 and 9 explains his unconditional love in this way. It says, the Lord is gracious and compassionate, slow to anger and rich in love. He is good to all. He has compassion on all he has made. In the same way, if we're meant to embody this, if we understand that God's love is unconditional, that he loved us while we were his enemies, while we were still sinners, then that means, by implication, we have to do the same. He tells us early in the book of Matthew that we should love our enemies and pray for those who persecute us. So that is really, you know, what good is it, he says, if we love those who love us, right? Anyone can do that. But as Christians, our love should be unconditional the same way that his is. That we show grace and compassion to all, that we show love and mercy to all, regardless of whether they like us in return, regardless of whether we're going to get anything back.
Yeah. The next part is sacrificial. That's one of the biggest way that Christ showed us his love for us, that he died on the cross for us. We just read 5:8, while we were sinners, Christ died for us. We want to look at John 15:13 on the sacrificial part. It says, And I actually want to start at 12. It says, my command is this, love each other as I have loved you. And this is how he showed love for us. He says, greater love has no one than this, that he laid down his life for his friends. So he's like, love each other as I have loved you. We're like, cool, we're going to love each other. This is how I love you. I die for you. I sacrifice myself for you. So that's the definition of my love. And I'm telling you to love others the same way, to fully sacrifice yourself for them. And that's a that's a challenging thing to swallow, that I have to die for my friends. And I don't know how that looks like. Is it taking a bullet for them? Is it whatever it is? But the main thing is that we put them first. Right? I think
yeah, that, and that means also in little ways that we lay down our life, that it's not when it's not convenient, when we don't yeah. feel like doing it, when it requires sacrifice on our part, that the same way, you know, and not just through his death, but the fact that Jesus left being in God's glory, and he left all of what he had in heaven to come and lay down his life in that way, not just through death on the cross, but the sacrifice of his entire life. And that's how our life should be as well, is not that we're seeking fame and fortune and all of that, or, you know, that we want to be rewarded by men, but that our life is sacrificial. And he says in John chapter 13, verse 1, it says, having shown his own who were in the world, I mean, having loved his own who were in the world, he now showed them the full extent of his love. Some translations say he loved them to the end, or he loved them to the last. But I like this version that says he showed them the full extent of his love. And he says it here, not at the point where he's on the cross. He says it here because this is when Jesus washes the disciples' feet. And I think this is the example. He tells them, now as I have washed your feet, you should wash one another's feet. So this is an example of the sacrificial love. It's uncomfortable. It's messy. It's dirty. It doesn't seek high power or, you know, praise from people. But instead, he is the king of the universe, and he puts on a wash towel, and he gets down on his hands and knees, and he washes their nasty feet. And then he tells us to do the same. That's the kind of love, that sacrificial love. It's not necessarily this, you know, purple heart or badge of honor that you get because you, you know, did throw yourself in front of a bullet, which hopefully, you know, we would be willing to do that to save others' lives as well. But it's the daily dying, right? It's the daily picking up your cross, the daily honoring others better than yourselves. That's the kind of love that God is calling us to give, that sacrificial love, the way that he gave.
Yeah, it's again, it's being that living sacrifice. It does talk about death, but I think it's the living is the hardest part, right? It's like, man, I love you. I'll die for you. I'm like, all right, can you help me move? I'm busy that day, you know?
Can you help with the dishes?
Can you help with the dishes? Can you watch my kid? Can you lend me $20? Man, you know, it's really is. It's got to be a sacrificial love, because if it's not sacrificial, it's easy, then, again, anybody would do it. So the next one that we want to talk about is steadfast and faithful. His love endures generation after generation, never wavering. Psalm 136, and I'm not gonna read the whole thing, but Psalm 136 reminds us that his love endures forever. How it reminds us? It's in every verse. Give thanks to the Lord, for he is good. His love endures forever. Give thanks to the God of gods. His love endures forever. Give thanks to the Lord of lords. His love endures. To him who alone does great wonders, his love endures forever. Who by his understanding made the heavens, his love endures forever. Who spread out the earth upon the waters, his love endures forever. And this goes on for 26 verses, because sometimes it takes us 26 times to hear this, to be reminded that his love endures forever. There was not a beginning of his love. It was just, it was with him, and it was never going to be ending.
And continuing with this, the faithfulness of God's love, which calls us then to be faithful. Actually going back to Lamentations, interesting book, because Jeremiah wrote this in the midst of the destruction of Jerusalem, and of, you know, he's watching, it's just devastating. I mean, the famine and the death and destruction that's all around him. But he writes this in Lamentations chapter 3, verse 22 and 23. It says, because of the Lord's great love, we are not consumed, for his compassions never fail. They are new every morning. Great is your faithfulness. So even though there were horrible circumstances, even though there was devastation and destruction all around, God's love did not consume them completely. There was always a remnant. There was always redemption. There was always hope. And with the love that we have as well, we know that vengeance belongs to the Lord. So even people who deserve retaliation in some way from us, or we believe they deserve justice and consequences, the same way that God has mercy and compassion, that's new every morning, we're expected to extend and be faithful in our love in the same way.
Yep, absolutely. The next topic is transforming. Knowing God's love changes how we view ourselves and others. So for this verse, we chose 1 Corinthians 13, 4 through 7, the love verse. And these verses, they've been used so many ways to describe love, but it's truly describe who God is. It speaks with love is patient, love is kind, it does not envy, it does not boast. It is not proud, it is not rude, it is not self-seeking, it is not easily angered, it keeps no records of wrong. Love does not delight in evil, but rejoices with the truth. It always protects, always trusts, always hopes, always preserves. If we are being embodied by God's love and we're trying to show people what God's love is, this is some of the things that need to be evident in who we are and how we treat people. We might be able to like, well, I'm good with not being envious and not boasting. I'm pretty humble. I think I'm the humblest person there is. But patience is just a struggle for us. Or even we do not delight in evil, but rejoice with the truth. We always protect, always trust. Do we always trust, or do we always look for the negative in people's lives? You know, that's this open-hearted love that God has for us. That's kind of the thing we need to reflect to others, and it is very challenging. And as Trish and I are reading these verses, we're like, man, I don't think we ever did a sermon series on
what is love,
like actually going through and breaking this down and what God thinks of this. But it's really important for him. It's in this amazing verses that he put together just for us to give us a hint of what love really looks like, what he has shown to us beyond the just like, which works really well because we just talked about sacrifice. Love is sacrifice, that you will die for somebody. But now he's like, all right, love is also being patient with somebody and just being kind with somebody. We're like, yeah, but man, taking a bullet is so much easier. Please get somebody shoot me if I have to be kind to this person one more time, right? But that's the calling. That's the transforming in us that we must have through the Holy Spirit, not ourselves. It's never ourselves. It's through the Holy Spirit we can only do this.
Yeah. And to reiterate the fact that God's love is transforming, Ephesians chapter 3, 16 through 19 says this, I pray out of his glorious riches that he may strengthen you with power through his Spirit in your inner being so that Christ may dwell in your hearts through faith. I pray that you, being rooted and established in love, may have power together with all the saints to grasp how wide and high and long and deep is the love of Christ, to know this love that surpasses knowledge, that you may be filled to the measure of all the fullness of God. And I love that this verse, we think of it, oh, you know, we grasp how high and wide and deep is the love of God. Yes, but throughout this verse, the part that's spoken in here is the fact that this love is powerful. This love is not just this ethereal feeling that's out there that gives you warm and fuzzies. It's a transforming, powerful love. And that's the kind of love that we are called to give. It actually says, which happens to be right here, in Ephesians 4:15, that we're supposed to speak the truth in love so that we will all grow up in maturity in him who is the head, that is Christ. So love is not just meant to be warm and fuzzies for people. Love is meant to be transformative. I love you where you are, but I love you too much to leave you the same. That the love that I have for you should help you move towards holiness, towards freedom, towards healing, towards wholeness, not just making you feel good. And honestly, real love is not, you know, the love that comes from God is not that God always wants you to be happy. You know, if I'm as a parent, if I just want my kid to always be happy, you're going to grow up with this entitled, you know, not resilient and not independent, this just spoiled brat, right? But if my love is to help him become a child of character, a child of, you know, who is thoughtful of others, who is respectful, who works hard, all of those things, independent. So in other words, when God's love transforms us, he moves us not necessarily to be happy, because we have all kinds of messed up circumstances in life. Those circumstances are meant to make us holy, which we've talked about earlier in this series. Mm-hmm. So love is meant to be transformative, not just a warm, fuzzy feeling.
Amen. Amen. The next step that we want to talk about is redemptive. God's love is offered to all people regardless of their past. It's being able to really connect to those people, no matter who they are and how they are, and being able to meet them where they are. Deuteronomy 10:18 says, let me just read 17. For the Lord your God is God of gods and Lord of lords, the great God, mighty and awesome, who shows no partiality and accepts no bribes. He defends the cause of the fatherless and the widows and loves the alien, giving him food and clothing. Wherever the person is at, we love on them. We bring them back to God's love. We don't change them. We just bring them to God's love. God is the one, through the Holy Spirit, will meet them there. We just need to extend that opportunity for them to meet the loving God. And through that, there's redemption. Through there, there's repentance. That's a new word. Repent.
He's making stuff up.
Okay. There you hashtag. Go.
Repentance. And kind of shifting a little bit, but still highlighting God, the redemptive nature of God's love. Ephesians 2:13 says, "But now in Christ Jesus, you who were once far away have been brought near through the blood of Christ." And the context of this chapter, you know, Paul is talking about how we were once in sin and we were doing all sorts of horrible things, and we were once far from God. We were once enemies of God. But because of God's love that we see in Christ Jesus, we have been brought near. And that should translate into us then. It says how he was our peace and destroyed the dividing wall of hostility, not just between God and us, but between us and each other. And so our love should not only be a bridge that's vertical, you know, oh, it's my walk with God, but that love is meant to be redemptive among us as people, that we would then have reconciliation, be reconciled to brothers and sisters in Christ. So we're going to move through. Now that we have this concept of what God's love looks like and how that love should look in our lives, we're going to move through pretty quickly for the sake of staying on task. Sorry, I know. We're going to move through the 5 steps of how do you embody a concept. The first is that you learn to embody the concept in your mind, then your heart, then your body, then your soul, and then eventually you become a living example of that. These are steps of how you embody anything. But in this case, we want to learn to embody God's love. So looking at first, we already talked about how you have to understand the concept. So the first way that you learn to embody is it starts with your mind. It starts with a decision in your mind. It starts with being exposed to a concept and saying that this is something that I want to integrate into who I am. So Romans chapter 12, verse 2.
It says, "Do not conform any longer to the patterns of this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind. Then you will be able to test and approve what God's will is, his good, pleasing, and perfect will." Again, so we have the concept, and we need to take this concept and really change into our minds. And as we read the scriptures, as we learn to understand God's will through those scriptures and through the Holy Spirit, our minds starts to change. And that's where it kind of starts, I feel like,
yeah,
is the understanding. Like, just like what we just did, we went through God's love. If we didn't know what God's love was, it would be really hard to understand. So we presented the scriptures of what God's love is looking like. All right, we got the concept. All right, now let's start changing our mind, because sometimes people have this mindset that God is a vengeful God. God is a God of whatever, all these other things that people put on God. But we need to also look at the truth of the scripture and see what he really is, and then making sure that our mind gets changed by the scripture, not by sermons or by the other people saying something else or what's on social media.
Right. And it's not just acknowledging like, oh, that's a good idea, but it's the sense of deciding, I want to implement this in my life. Like, you might know theoretically that you're supposed to eat healthy, but there comes a point where you mentally make the decision, I am going to start taking care of my body and eating more nutritious meals and eating in a more healthy, balanced diet. And there's a shift that happens there between just having this idea, this notion, versus I'm making a decision. So we might know that God is in love and that he loves us and that we should love others, but there's a point of like, okay, I need to make a conscious decision in my mind that I am going to love as he loved me. So that's the first step. And the next is that we then have to reflect in our heart, right? And that's the part, I think we sometimes get stuck in our heads because we don't want to do the hard work of our heart. So we have the idea in our heads, but now we have to actually look at our hearts and pull out whatever is in there that's keeping us from doing this. The same thing, like, you might decide you want to eat healthy and you want to take care of yourself, but you have shame, you have guilt, you have this poor self-image, you have these things that are deep inside your heart, this emotional baggage that can actually, as much as you might mentally want to, you won't be able to push through because in your heart, there's all these obstacles that are getting in your way. So you might want to love God and love others the way he wants you to, but you have these things that you need to pull out of your heart that only the Holy Spirit can do. So Psalm 139, verse 23 and 24 says, "Search me, O God, and know my heart. Test me and know my anxious thoughts. See if there is any offensive way in me and lead me to the way of understanding." So this means asking questions about how will this love change my thinking? How will this love change my behavior? How will this love change my understanding of God and of the world around me? So asking those hard questions and taking time to actually pray and reflect to see what it is that's keeping you from being able to live this principle out in the way that God wants us to.
Yeah. The next one is body. For this one, we wanted to look at it two ways. One, of course, honor your God with the body and make sure that you take care of it because it's the temple of the Holy Spirit. And through that, just the way we take care of ourselves and our health and the way we present ourselves is way to show God's love to others. But we also want to speak of it, how we are part of God's body, meaning the church. So we're going to look at it in those ways. So 1 Corinthians 12:25-27, it says, "So that there should be no division in the body, but that its parts should have equal concerns for each other. If one part suffers, every part suffers with it. If one part is honored, every part rejoices with it. Now you are the body of Christ, and each one of you is part of it." So one of the ways that we embody God's love and take those steps of showing that love is how we are interacting, fellowshipping, and treating the body of Christ. Not just church with a small C, core church, but as a Christian body of believers. That is an important way. Do we honor it? Do we fulfill it? And honoring is very important. I always bring that up. Buffalo, he always said, like, we are a body of Christ, but just don't be the butthole of it. You know, there's we need to remember this part of that when we as Christian, as we're part of the body of Christ, we are representing that body. And when we do things that are out of love, we are hurting the body of Christ. It's all those things now the people are pointing, like, see, that's how Christians are. This is how the church is. We are hurting the body of Christ. So we need to be able to stand firm in God's love and act the way we're supposed to, the way the Holy Spirit is telling us, the way the Word of God is telling us, the way Jesus has showed us to love people. When we do that, that's when we're taking care of our body, right?
Yeah. Not just our physical bodies, but the body of believers.
Absolutely.
Which gets to the next step, which is the integrating into our soul. The soul being the very core of who we are. You know, we're not compartmentalized where our mind, you know, we don't exist just in our mind. We're not this Greek mystical thought of, oh, we're a separated body. You know, God created us that body, mind, soul, and spirit, we're all one. You need all of those things to be in unison in order to live out who he's created us to be. But this last one is that within our soul, within deep within our identity, which is where our personality, where who we are really lies, is in the soul. We need to integrate love into our habits, into our identity, which means that now our habits, our patterns, our way of living, the way that we just shape our day, the way we spend our time, now becomes transformed in order to reflect God's love in everything that we do. That it becomes a centerpiece of our life. Going back to the illustration about someone who's like, oh, I should eat healthy, versus someone who now embodies taking care of, you know, healthy living and nutrition. You know, like Lillian, who's part of her whole embodies nutrition. You know, she runs a fitness studio. She's got all of those shakes that do all sorts of things back there, all the vitamins, all the supplements. If you have, you know, headaches, she's got an herbal remedy for it. She's got all of the. So she is someone who has embodied the principle of nutrition and fitness into her life. And that is vastly different than someone who's just like, yeah, it's a good idea to eat healthy. You know, eating junk food is bad. But yet we're going to go get Taco Bell. You know, Christians, we might say, yeah, God loves us, for God so loved the world, right? And it's like, oh yeah, I'm supposed to love my neighbor as myself. But there's a difference between someone whose entire life, all the way at the core of their soul, is now oriented towards embodying God's love. Does that make sense? To the point where people will be able to tell that you're different without you opening your mouth. People will be able to tell, like, oh, she's, you know, she's all about Jesus, like everything about her. And not just because you have a Jesus bumper sticker, but because of the fact that you operate differently. In fact, you may operate so differently. If you orient your life in this way, you may look different from a lot of Christians, because a lot of Christians become the issue that is even confronted in Scripture by John in Revelation is that people will grow lukewarm. And Jesus is afraid that towards the end, not afraid, but he says that towards the end, the love of most will grow cold, the love. So we have to keep that love at the core, at the center of who we are, because that's what it means to embody God's love. That is his plan for us. That is what he has ordained for us to do. So we need to be a living example.
Yeah, I think that's, I hear it all the time. I've heard it so many times. I think from the beginning of becoming a Christian, over and over again, it's such as preach the gospel and we need to use words, right? And I really love that message behind it, but I feel it's so challenging that my action, my example, how I present myself totally reflects the gospel of Jesus Christ. It's so much easier for me to start quoting the verses. It's so much easier for me to just go through Romans Road to Salvation or John 3:16, be like, hey, John, for God so loved the world. And they're like, all right, cool, but I haven't seen that in your life. That's the hard part. So for us, what Trish said, really just changing and embodying the gospel into who we are, truly are, it's really hard, but we need to try so hard to do it. Paul talks about, I beat my body as a living sacrifice, so I would not be.
It's kind of two verses together.
Verses together? How does it go then? I can't remember. I beat my body,
so. And I make it my slave.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Okay. That verse, not the one that I misquote. Like, we really need to fight that fight that we would fully show example of who Christ is to others. There's a sacrifice going to happen. There's denial that's going to happen. Jesus says, you must deny yourself, pick up your cross daily, and follow me. That denial has to happen. And we sometimes, like, I'm a Christian. I like the Christian part, and I love, but this whole thing of denying ourselves and doing only what God has led me to do, and loving people that don't deserve to love, and sacrificing and giving stuff to people that I don't want to. That's a hard part. That's the hard part. Like, it's nice to talk about grace, to talk about God's word, to talk about his purpose, but this love thing, to fully embody, that's very hard, because now it becomes an action to us. It becomes a full action of us, and it becomes absolute change, absolute death to ourselves. And John 13:34-35 challenges us. This is the big one. He challenges us. Says, "A new command I give you: love one another as I have loved you. So you must love one another." And we have defined how he loved us, right? Sacrificially, beyond what we deserve. And it says, "By this all men will know that you are my disciples, if you love one another." It's this huge key, how we love one another here in the body of Christ. That's how people will know that we're his disciples. That's how we'll know we're their disciples, but not any other things. There's lots of people who are feeding the homeless. There's lots of people who are nice and patient and give money, and there's a lot of things, but we stand out. We should stand out differently by the love that we have, the different love, right? God's love.
Amen.
Amen. Thank you for spending time with us during this episode. We pray that this teaching blessed you and brought you closer to understanding God. If you'd like to contact us, please email us at corechurch242@gmail.com. Until next time, know you are loved and covered in prayer.